Good morning, everyone. And welcome on this Palm Sunday at the start of Holy Week. We welcome any visitors who are with us. It's nice to see some familiar faces back. And you're all welcome to join with us, not just for a cup of tea this time, but for a Palm Sunday Christian Aid lunch. Tickets are £3.50 for funds for Christian Aid, and if you'd like to donate more, there are gift aid slips to help as well. But we're very grateful to those who have been providing the food to come. We've changed the format slightly from previous years, so we've got the assistance of Morrison's sandwiches and candy bar cakes. But thanks to all those who are supplying it and serving it. So this week sees Holy Week, and we have special services every night from 7 till 8, followed by a cup of tea. This is a chance for you to engage in a spiritual experience, a journey. Coming to church once a week is the normal routine, but on this occasion you're invited to come a whole week and share the journey together, and you'll find it a much more enriching experience the more you put into it. So, who knows exactly where it will lead us, but roughly speaking, we'll be exploring Easter Monday to Wednesday. Then we'll have a communion service on Monday, Thursday. And then we'll gather around the cross in a circle and be in our imagination at Calvary for an hour. Next Sunday is Easter Day. We start at 8 o'clock in the morning with an early communion. And it'll be followed by bacon rolls and a breakfast. And then at 11 o'clock, all-age worship, our special Easter service with different people taking part. And at 2 o'clock, the Arranview Easter service. Advance notice, the Congregational Board meets on Tuesday the 30th of April. I just heard this morning that the Guild has donated £1,100 to church funds. So we're very grateful to the Guild for that. So let us, in company with people all around the world and for 2,000 years, let's jump on Jesus' bandwagon, let's follow him, and let's worship him. Let's sing from Mission Praise 457, Make Way, Make Way. 457.
Thank you.
On Palm Sunday, they shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He came then, he comes today, and he will come again. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, on this Palm Sunday 2019, we echo the cries of the people worshipping you, that first Palm Sunday. And we also cry, "Blessed are you who comes to us, who comes day by day. Blessed are you who comes to be with us, to love us, to forgive us, to reconcile us to yourself." And we cry, "Hosanna, save us. Save us from sin, from pain, from death. Save us from temptation and from despair, from all the things that would otherwise beat us in daily life." We too cast our garments and wave our palm branches, metaphorically. We acknowledge you to be our Lord and Saviour. One day, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. We are happy to come early and bow the knee now. So today we give you the red carpet treatment, and we open our hearts and minds and wills to you. Welcome inside the walled cities of our hearts. We remember that the humble donkey had his finest hour carrying you to the world. So we count it a privilege and an honor and a joy to serve you and to carry you to the world around us. But forgive us when we're stubborn mules refusing to serve. Forgive us when we're as fickle as the crowds then, one day crying, "Save us," and soon afterwards crying, "Crucify him." Forgive us when we close the drawbridge of our heart to you. We thank you for forgiving our sins, for coming to us time and time again, even when we ignore or reject you. Lord Jesus, Hound of Heaven, keep us on your trail. Lord Jesus, our Lover, keep wooing us, even though we sometimes play hard to get. Lord Jesus, melt our cold, hard ice cubes. Open our blind eyes, rouse our passions, sweep us off our feet, and let our cup be full and running over. May your love so overwhelm us that we may be able to sing your praises, not only when everybody else is doing it on Palm Sunday, but also in dark nights when others forsake you and flee. Bless all that we do today and throughout this holy week in your name. May many more people recognize you and your bandwagon rolling into their lives, and may they jump on it too. And hear us as we pray together, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Well, good morning. Hello. How are you today? Good. You're looking very bemused. So, let's see if you were listening carefully then. What week is this? No. What week is this? Sunday. What week is this? Easter. It's Easter week. It's got another name.
Holy Week.
Holy Week, right. So Holy Week lasts for how long? And it starts today. Now, today is what, Eva? Today is Palm Sunday. So other days include Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday is called Maundy Thursday. And then Friday is called That's a puzzle question. What's Friday called? Friday? It's called Good Friday. And then Sunday's called Easter Sunday. Right. Palm Sunday. Do you know anything about Palm Sunday? Uh-huh. What's a palm? Laura?
A tree.
A palm tree. You know what a palm tree looks like, right? So the leaves, the branches, they're palms. Of course, there's other palms out there. What's the other palms? Wave your palms. Right. So, do you know what happened on Palm Sunday with the palm leaves? You're guessing. Well, the story, I should really do the Bible reading. I was going to read it after the children stopped me. I should read it before. I'll just tell you the story. One day, Jesus came to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, with a crowd of people around him, skipping and jumping about, making a noise, and it was like a big procession. Yes, Harry, thank you. We've got a picture. Murphy's Law, it'll be the last one. Right. So Jesus comes on his donkey with a crowd round him. The city was busy. Very, very busy. The city of 60,000 people. Jerusalem's about the size of Stirling. No, less. Stirling's smaller. It's bigger than... It's about the three towns put together plus a wee bit. But at this time of the year, they were having a festival, the Passover. So Jewish people had come from all over the world. So instead of about 60,000 people, it was 250,000. So it was absolutely steering with people. They didn't all know Jesus, but those that did know Jesus were around him. So him and his gang comes into town, and they're making a hullabaloo. People are looking on and wondering, what's it about? Asking questions, who's this guy? Why is he here? Why are they getting excited? So they took palm branches, the hooligans, and they waved them as flags. And they laid them down on the ground. They took their jackets off, and they put them down on the ground. And Jesus and his donkey rode over the jackets, over the palm trees. You know how if the Queen comes anywhere, they put out a red carpet. We call it getting the red carpet treatment. Big celebrity, big fuss, all the razzmatazz, Hollywood Oscars, they've got the red carpet. So this was the original red carpet. Except it wasn't a carpet, it was palm trees, and it was their jackets, you see. So Jesus is riding into town on the Sunday. By Friday, he'll be on the cross, killed. On Friday and Sunday, he looks very popular. On Friday, he looks very unpopular. Jesus wasn't daft, and he knew what he was doing, and he knew what was coming. So Jesus had thought about this before doing it. He thought long and hard about doing it. And then he decided to go for it. He'd been at the city many times, but this was the time. He'd always said, my time is not yet, my time is not yet, and then my time is now. So he comes into the city. So on the face of it, it's a silly wee story. Nothing much happens in the sense he just rides into town, big excitement. But there's layers of meaning underneath it. Jesus was riding in to die. He wasn't fooled by the folk shouting, "You're a hero, you're great." And the folk, they all had their little thoughts of what was going on too. Different folk thought different thoughts. His enemies thought, this is our chance to catch him. There was a price on his head as a wanted criminal. So now he's riding into the lion's den, the spider's web. We'll get him. And they did. His disciples were hoping that he would be the new leader. If you watch the news tonight, you'll see in Sudan and in Algeria, there are crowds on the streets, and they've overthrown the dictator, but they haven't got a new government. And they're hoping for a new leader who will not be a dictator, and they'll have peace and prosperity like other countries. We'll wait to see what happens in Algeria and Sudan. It could end up very violent. It could end up very good. It might be the start of a whole new chapter in their history. But with Jesus' situation, the Romans were in power. The local people hated them. They were hoping they would get a new leader that would overthrow the Romans and that would bring in the day when they were the top dog and not the Romans. Jesus wasn't that kind of a ruler. He was coming to win their hearts and their minds. But they didn't know that. So Jesus is riding, knowing they're going to change their ideas about me. I'm going to get killed. Knowing the enemies are out to get him. But knowing his friends were misunderstanding him. And his friends were going to let him down and hurt him. So it was a lonely ride for Jesus while they're all celebrating. And the friends, they're getting all excited. They think this is the turnaround. This is going to change life. He'll be a political leader, a military leader, change the world that way. When they were crying Hosanna, you'll hear that words quoted, they were shouting Hosanna. Hosanna was in their language, save us. It wasn't just praising him, it was saying, Jesus, help us. Do something. Fix it. We need a leader. Be our leader. And the Romans were listening. And they knew they were listening. But they were inciting them, inciting Jesus to be a revolutionary. Well, it's a long story, but let me just put it this way. Jesus, who got killed on the Friday, rose again on the Sunday, and is in Silk Coats this morning, in Silcoats North Parish Church with us. The folk that were there then that tried to get rid of him and kind of succeeded a wee bit, they're gone. Jesus has turned the ideas of the world on its head, suggesting the answers to the world's problems is not military, is not political, it's spiritual. What's needed is to change not the territory and the leaders. What's needed to change is the hearts and the minds of each person. For 2,000 years, Jesus has been riding into people's hearts, into their minds, changing their lives one by one, and changed lives have gone out to change the world. We could do with a lot of change and a lot of people, but let's not think about the other people. Let's think about our own life. We each need Jesus to come into our life and change us. And if everybody was more like Jesus, the world would be a much better place. So we're celebrating the fact that he came and he's come today and he'll come every day. Let's not miss him. Some folk just missed out what was going on. Let's not miss out. Let's welcome him into our hearts and our minds, into our congregation, our community, our country, our world. And let him rule. And if we're ruled by him, the kingdom of God will have started. It has started for 2,000 years. It will continue. And then one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will be bowing. So let's sing a Palm Sunday song, 233, O Glory, Lord and Honor. Right. Now let's hear the story of what happened the first Palm Sunday. Mark chapter 11 at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem, near the towns of Bethphage and Bethany, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you, and as soon as you get there, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if someone asks you why you are doing that, tell him that the master needs it and will send it back at once. So they went and found a colt out in the street, tied to the door of a house. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered, just as Jesus had told them, and the men let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the animal, and Jesus got on. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches in the fields and spread them on the road. The people who were in front and those who followed behind began to shout, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord! God bless the coming kingdom of King David, our Father. Praise God." Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and looked round at everything. And since it was already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples. And turning to Mark chapter 14 at verse 32. This is later in the week. They came to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him. Distress and anguish came over him, and he said to them, "The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me. Stay here and keep watch." He went a little further on, threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if possible, he might not have to go through that time of suffering. "Father," he prayed, "my Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he returned and found the three disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Weren't you able to stay awake even for 1 hour?" And he said to them, "Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away once more and prayed, saying the same words. Then he came back to the disciples and found them asleep. They could not keep their eyes open, and they did not know what to say to him. When he came back the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is now being handed over to the power of sinful men. Get up. Let us go. Look, here is the man who is going to betray me." Amen. And now let's sing together hymn 234, "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty." 234 in the Red Book. Throughout the period of Lent, we've been thinking about problems that we face as people and problems that Jesus faced in his life and ministry, and how because Jesus faced them and conquered them, he's in a good position to help us to overcome our problems. In week one, we considered how Jesus faced temptation and can help us to face our temptations. Week two, it was opposition by other people. Week three, it was being let down by your own friends. Week four, it was about loneliness. Jesus was lonely, we can be lonely. Week five, it was looking foolish. Jesus was mocked and jeered at, dressed up with a robe and a crown of thorns. We can look foolish sometimes too. Today, Jesus and we share facing the dreaded moment. I had a dreaded moment just before Palm Sunday and a previous Palm Sunday. The phone rang and a voice said, "Alec, Granny's dead." Only three words, but they said so much. It wasn't very tactful in how it was phrased, but then the person at the other end of the phone weren't feeling very diplomatic or tactful. She'd just died 20 minutes earlier. I was expecting the phone call, sort of. As soon as I heard the first word and the tone of voice, I knew what the rest of the message would be. So you can imagine that Palm Sunday, I wasn't feeling like saying Hosanna. Death and Palm Sunday are connected. Very much connected. In Luke's Gospel, we read in chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. It's a very evocative phrase. He just stuck his chin out, got up and walked purposefully in the Jerusalem direction. They'd been sitting around, thinking about it, wondering, should we, shouldn't we go there? A price on Jesus' head, a wanted criminal. It would be folly to go into Jerusalem at this point. Jesus gets up, and it was Thomas of all the disciples who said, "Let's go with him, even if it does mean our death." Jesus was choosing deliberately to stick the chin out and go into Jerusalem, knowing what to expect. Maybe not in detail, but he knew it would be a one-way ticket. And yet, it's not all gloom and doom. On Palm Sunday, it's a cheerful crowd, genuinely cheering. Jesus had his own mind and agenda, but it wasn't the same agenda as everybody else. These were pilgrims from all over the world come to celebrate the Passover. His own inner core were celebrating Jesus is going into Jerusalem. This is the climax of his ministry. This is when it's all going to happen. Jesus, who can do miracles, he'll do a miracle. And when we approach Palm Sunday, we're approaching with the benefit of hindsight. We know the story. We know there's a cross in it, but we know there's an empty tomb in it too. We call it Good Friday now. We are celebrating Holy Week, not mourning it. With the benefit of hindsight, we can see what they couldn't see. This week I had a funeral of a 46-year-old man. And at the funeral, a nice old lady, sweetly, stabbed me in the jugular by saying, "Where's your God of love when a 46-year-old man dies?" And I sort of stabbed back with a smile too. I says, I don't believe in a fairy godmother God who doesn't stop 46-year-olds dying. He obviously doesn't. But I do believe in a God who gets crucified alongside us and who's paved the way to rise from the grave and has secured the way for this man to have a life beyond this life, reducing his death to merely the gateway to his infinitely better life. We all can have dreaded moments at any time, at any moment, the phone call, the letter, a word or two. Jesus didn't have it once. He had a dreaded moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read that story there. He had a dreaded moment in the wilderness when he was tempted. He had a dreaded moment before going into Jerusalem. Look at the courage of Jesus. Look at the courage of Christians down the centuries. It's not that we're unaware of the difficulties. It's the difficulties don't outmatch the courage. We all would pray, let this cup pass. But we're fully aware that it's not the kind of world God has set up, that we've got a genie, a fairy godmother. We just ask and he just delivers. We say, let me not have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. A woman said to me, I hope nobody's ever to go through the bereavement I've had to go through. I said to her, everybody's got to go through bereavement. Let me not have to go to hospital. Why should you be the exception? We all know the feelings. We all want the fight or flee, the flee preferably. But Jesus calls us to fight, to take up the cross, to go into Jerusalem's. But a couple of things to think about in this story. Jesus had the courage to be weak as opposed to the courage to be strong. There's a radical thought. Sometimes we've no choice in the matter. We hum and hay, but circumstances overtake us. So we just have to face it. I keep coming back to the Prime Minister. I don't think she chose half of our problems. Some folks say she caused half of our problems, but she finds herself in a pickle. We all find ourselves in a pickle. But what do we do? When we face a dreaded moment and we need the courage, we sometimes develop a thick skin. You need the skin of a rhinoceros. If you're sensitive in this world, it will murder you. You just have to toughen up. Keep a stiff upper lip. Don't let the side down. Don't cry. It's no skin off my nose. See if I care. The world's not going to get me down. Nothing's going to get the better of me. I'm rock, solid, strong, immovable. I have the courage to be strong. But that was not Jesus' style of courage. He had the courage to be weak. He set himself towards tears, pain, sorrow, humility, shame, ridicule. And he took it all. He didn't stand up against it. He didn't prove how strong he was to anybody. Another thought is he had the courage to be loved. You see, the miracle that's going on in this simple story is that who is the guy on the donkey? If this really is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Trinity God, God the Son, but it's God. There's only one God, not three. God puts himself into that predicament. He lets himself be spat upon, jeered, crucified, denied, betrayed, rejected, ridiculed. He knows what's coming and he does it. He's willing to put himself into the hands of the crowd. That crowd could have torn him apart. You'll find in Algeria and Sudan today, there are Secret Service policemen in the town squares, and they could arrest any of the protesters. To go into the square is a dangerous trick, because you could be loved and you could be hated. Jesus knew he could be followed and he could be crucified. And the likelihood was it would be both. To put yourself into the vulnerable position of letting other people judge you, not just Pilate, but everybody in the crowd. God allows us to say no. He doesn't kick the door down and force his presence and his rule. He says, will you accept me into your hearts and into your minds? Will you let me rule? And if we say no, he doesn't just go away limply. He keeps wooing us, but it's wooing us, not dominating us. And a third thought is, he had the courage to rejoice. Knowing all of the above, on his way to the cross, he could be the life and soul of the party. St. Paul wrote, in everything give thanks. And he wrote it in prison, and he wrote it to people persecuted. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, that hymn is based on Philippians. The Philippians were being highly persecuted, and he was writing to them from prison. It may sound daft, but it's not as daft for those in the know. If you spoke to Paul, he would have said, every time I'm weak, I feel his strength making me stronger. It's almost worth being weak to have that surge of strength. I kind of live for stress eating. I kind of live for my adventures. It grows on you. You don't run away from it, you run into it. There are people who run away from trouble all the time, most people. But there's the odd one that runs into trouble. Like police, ambulance, fire brigade, coast guard, lifeboat, charity workers, Christians. They go the wrong way, into trouble, looking for trouble, looking to change the trouble into the better. David said, I can tell you times when the Lord was my shepherd in the valleys. Shadrach could say, he was with me in the fiery furnace. Peter, we walked on water together. David, we slew giants together. Daniel, we came through lions' dens together. Aren't the best moments of your life those moments when you and Jesus walked together into the storms? Blessed are those who mourn, or the other translation is, happy are those who mourn, for they will find God's comfort. Happy are you when people persecute you. You will find God's peace. You don't have to fear any crucifixions, any valleys, any tears, any sorrows, any griefs, if you've always got the trump card of resurrection. Jesus is with us. With Jesus we rise. Even in grief, even in crises, happy are those in the faith of Christ, under whom are the everlasting arms, who are living their lives in the presence of the risen Christ, who have the peace of God and the power of God and the power that allows them to even be weak. But in the end, as Paul said, we're more than conquerors in him, only in him. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, when we see you riding on the donkey and we think of the Grand National, you wouldn't have had any bets. But we bet our whole lives upon you as being the winning horse. There are many rivals, but you are ultimately the winner. So take our time, talents, money, and lives and use them in your service, we pray. Amen. Let's sing from your sheets this time. Will you come and follow me? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Earthly empires reject you, but they crumble to dust. Proud rulers scorn your way of love and destroy themselves. Even your church denies you and betrays you, and yet your work continues. Before you now, we would renew our vows to serve you. And we invite your love to enter our lives and rule us. May your spirit of love penetrate the fiber of our beings so that we may be able to sing your praises not only when everybody else is doing it, but also on the dark nights when the others forsake you and flee. Lord, come and cleanse our temple where we need that too. Come, Lord Jesus, that your coming may bring light and healing to all who need you. Bring health to the diseased, bring strength to the tempted, bring hope to the dying. Bring light and life to all of us. Guide the perplexed. Work in us and work through us for the enrichment of all around. May your blessing be upon all that we do this Holy Week. And hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for Ruth Carson. We give thanks that she's got home from hospital. We pray for Joe and Anne Barraclough, for Ruth Cowan, Harry Duff, George Murray, Dora Scott, John Hunter. We pray for your comfort and peace on the family and friends of Mark Tenney. And we pray for the wider world, for the people in Algeria and in Sudan, with their street protests, the dictator having stepped down. But there's a vacuum. They don't know how to do it any other way. We pray for India. The world's biggest ever democratic election is underway, but takes 6 weeks because there's 900 million voters. We think of the EU elections coming up. And we pray for our country in the face of the Brexit business. We pray for Libya, where there's civil war. We pray for Yemen, where there's out-and-out war. We pray for Israel and Palestine, where there's a simmering war. And we pray for Syria, that doesn't know what to do with 70,000 IS brides and children in a camp. They're wounded, depressed, orphaned, starving, homeless, in the hands of their enemies, hated by their own countries. IS showed no mercy, and now IS brides and children are desperately in need of mercy. We pray for our own country, where every week 4 school children commit suicide. As a church, we pray for the readers in our presbytery today. We pray for all your people in every situation. May your bandwagon roll into the town, and may your kingdom come. Amen. Our closing hymn is 360, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. We'll just sing the first verse and the last verse, first and last of 360. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore.